All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cold spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, only still to hunger.
Hallelujah. If you got snowed in, I guess. Holy, holy moly. Any of you know who Jack Van Empe is? He is now went to meet his rewards. He went to heaven. Hallelujah. I kind of like Jack Van Empe because he was a very staunch rapture believer. And he also, for those who love pets and animals, there's going to be lots of animals and pets in heaven. So whoever lost a pet, he'll be there meeting you. Interesting, interesting. I once had an argument with a guy. He said, there's no animals in heaven. What do you think there is? That's just gold. That's just gold and silver and all that stuff. And I said, okay, I got a question for you. You read the book of Revelation. The first animal that comes out of heaven, what is it? It's a horse. Oh, that's just an allegory thing. That's just some. And I said, no, that's a horse. And I'm going to ride one. And I love horses. And don't say there's none in heaven. Because where I go, there's going to be horses. Not an old Model T Ford. I don't care for cars. It could stay here on earth. Anyway, the Lord is good, and he is coming back soon. And today I want to challenge all of you with an interesting message that I feel the Lord laid on my heart. And you may have noticed I was talking about the Bereans last week. Does anybody know who the Bereans are? Anybody ever read about them in Scripture? I even found there's a Berean Bible. So some of you are not really studying the word. In Acts chapter 17, it tells us, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto where? Berea. It's a town, it's a city. Who came thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than these in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether these things were so. So this is a good Berean. I hear lots of people on the internet who call themselves good Bereans. And some of them I just have a quiet laugh at how what they call a good Berean. So these Bereans, these people, were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica because they didn't just take somebody's word for it. They studied the scripture to see if it was so. How many of you have heard a testimony from a person and then you went and studied the word to see if it lines up with scripture? I've done it a few times. And I'll share some of these stories today. But before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, for the word of God. For it is above your name. And Lord God, you want us to continue with it. If you continue in my word, you say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So bless us with understanding today in Jesus' name. Amen. This message, as I preached, was basically meant for an audience who are in religion, who don't quite believe in scripture, who don't quite believe that Jesus is the only way. They add religion to their way into heaven. But I want to give us a challenge here about being a good Berean. A good Berean would study the scripture to see if it was so. And if you're a wise old wineskin, you might have a problem with some of the revelations the Word of God wants to give you. Are you a good Berean? Is your wineskin flexible? Can God pour new wine into your wineskin? Years ago, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, help me to stay flexible. I don't want to be cut off with some thing of the Bible and that's it. There's no more. The Word of God is incredibly wide open. I mean, our hearts will never really understand the true truth till we get there. We see revelation after revelation, and then years later we come back and there's revelation more on that same scripture. So the Bereans, they would search scripture daily to see if these things were so. We have to understand in Psalm chapter 119, in verse 169, it says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before me. Deliver me according to thy word. So here he is saying, give me understanding according to thy word. You watch the world system today. Anything but the word of God. They bring out things according to the lusts of the flesh, the things of this world. And if scripture somehow applied to their situation, I can hear Nancy Pelosi apply it. She prays for Trump daily, ha ha ha. And she loves him deeply, ha ha ha. That's the way they operate. Their heart, with their mouth, they bless, but their heart is full of cursing. I read it in Psalms yesterday. And I was thinking of the situation. Wow, this applies to now. Their mouth comes blessing, but their heart is full of cursing. And that's what it is. Anyways, being a good Berean, I remember a lady telling me a story. She comes from Rwanda. Remember that lady? We had her here giving her testimony. And she was in that incredible genocide in Rwanda. But she was into the power of the Holy Ghost, and she stood up against those devils who were trying to kill her. And she said, in the name of Jesus, nobody will kill me. You devils have to step back. I read her book, and I was amazed after amazed after amazed. When I got to know her, I saw an ordinary young woman who loved the Lord deeply, who simply believed in the Word of God, who actually got filled with the Holy Spirit by listening to Reinhard Bonnke. And I figured, I'm going to search the Scripture to see if this is so. Can a person do that? And I searched the Scripture, and I found a place where this king threw a person into a lion's den. And the person said, you guys are not going to touch me. So they purred all night long. Remember the story? Daniel in the lion's den. The enemies couldn't touch him. And you will find incredible different places where God stood in the way, where the enemy couldn't touch people. Why? Because they were protected by God. So I was able to say, yes, I believe this lady. It's in the Word of God. Then we got a lady up here once that gave her testimony about an incredible miracle that happened to her. She had this problem, and she was in the hospital, and she had a catheter in her side where she was draining out the fluids that were coming out. And one day, God healed her overnight, took the catheter out himself, and healed the wound overnight. And I was thinking, is that really true? So I was a good Berean. I went into Scripture, and sure enough, I not only found one evidence, I found lots of evidences where God healed people instantly. And he said, even after that, greater things will you do than I did. Was I a good Berean? Yes, I was. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to encourage people, be good Bereans. Let the Word, let your understanding come according to the Word, not after your preconceived ideas and how you were raised and how things you think are supposed to go. Because who would think going into a fire, not even a hair on your head would be singed? That's totally irrationally and impossible. But with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was no problem. Hallelujah. Who is this great God we serve? He is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is a merciful God, and he loves you, and he wants to show you incredible things if you will dare to step out in faith and to expect the unbelief, the unbelievable things. In Luke chapter 4, let's go now into Scripture where he talks about him coming to seek and save that which is lost, because we got to focus on that with everything we got. It's the gospel, it's the message of the gospel that saves people. Regardless how many signs and wonders you see, it's still the gospel that sets you free. I was listening to a guy yesterday. It was a couple of days ago. Was it Safati, Amir Safati? They were in this church where about 400, I think it was 200 ex-Muslims had come for a service. And they were bringing forth the Scripture, your young man shall dream dreams, your old man shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see visions. And they asked the audience, how many here have had a vision of Jesus before you even heard who he was or have ever heard about him? 40 people raised their hands and said, we became Christians because Jesus came to us in a vision and in a dream and told us who he was. Isn't that incredible? Would those people lie? Is it in the Bible that God would do something like that? Yes, it says they will have visions and see dreams, and they will see visions and have dreams. It's happening all over the Muslim nations. Why is it happening all over the Muslim nations? Because it is outlawed to preach the gospel in those places. So Jesus goes there himself and preaches. That is awesome. I told the Lord God years ago, the Hutterites have kicked us out. They kick out anybody who believes in Jesus. It's time you go in there and speak to them in visions and in dreams. It seems like something is happening. We are hearing some interesting reports. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And as he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and all eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." I'm telling you, those guys must have been shocked. Wow, who is this guy? His cousins knew him, Peter, James, and John. They grew up together. They knew what kind of guy he was. So they believed him. But the basic general population, they've heard about him. But then he goes into the synagogue, and he makes this incredible statement. My God, who does this guy think he is? We know his brothers. We know his sisters. He's just an ordinary guy like we are. And here was their excuse. This cannot be the guy that God sent. I want to show you something in Isaiah chapter 61 in verse 1 and 2. It was prophesied that he was going to do that. See, these people weren't good Bereans. They didn't search the scriptures. So they were confused on who he was. They even wanted to kill him. But in Isaiah chapter 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Same words. They should have just done their homework. "To proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all them that mourn." So here we have the same scripture, basically what the Lord Jesus Christ had been saying, that he would bring this about. It's the Spirit of the Lord. They should have been good Bereans. They should have studied scripture. You want to know the truth? I believe some of those Pharisees knew who Jesus was, but they decided to reject him. Why? How do I know that? When you go and raise somebody from the dead, which had never been done before, and he was there for 4 days, came out. Well, yes, Elijah raised people from the dead, but this guy was dead for 4 days, and he was already smelling as far as they were concerned. He comes out of the grave. And then the Pharisees, what do they do? "We're going to kill Lazarus, and we're going to kill Jesus at the same time." So we know they set their hearts against God. But even worse, at the time of the crucifixion, they said, "He said he's going to rise up after 3 days. We're going to put a guard up against him so the disciples don't steal him." Guess what happened? The angel of the Lord came and rolled the stone away. Jesus came out. The guards ran and told the Pharisees what happened. "Oh, here's some money. Tell the people that his disciples stole him." This is where the demonic realm has overtaken the hearts and minds of the Pharisees. They can't see anymore and they can't hear anymore. The Spirit of God had departed from them so that they believed a lie that they themselves told themselves. That's how bad it has become. So we need to study these things. People sometimes reject God, and then the Spirit of God simply withdraws. And this is when it gets bad. It tells in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquities of us all. That's what I love about this whole Jesus thing. The Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Whatever you ever did wrong was laid on Jesus. I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he made a statement that wasn't quite true. A person who becomes born again, he says, the Spirit of God is upon you, and you will stop wanting to sin. You still want that sin in you. But when you become born again, it leaves. And I said, I don't know if it leaves. I don't know if that's what it means, being pure, holy, and free, is when you stop sinning. Because nobody who is alive on this earth will ever stop sinning. When you sin, the only way you're still clean is by the power of God, which has made your spirit clean and holy in his sight. And no sin can touch it. The sin of evil cannot touch your spirit. It has been declared free from sin. So if you are free from sin, it means your spirit has been set apart. It is free and clear from sin. It's not that you're not going to sin anymore. So I was going to correct that guy, but I couldn't speak through the TV. So everybody should know, when you're born again, you have been sanctified. You have been made holy. You have been made pure. The all your iniquities that you ever committed or will ever commit were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he paid for them. That's a reason to shout hallelujah. If you study these things, you're going to be a good Berean, because it'll bring joy and peace to your heart. Because if you're halfway honest, you'll still sin as you keep on living in this world. Now, I want to change a little bit here to a different situation that took place. And I studied that for a while in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 6. Bring that up, Exodus chapter 12 in verse 6. The people of Israel were told by Moses they need to slaughter an animal. They had to kill a lamb. And there they had to put the blood over the doorposts of their houses. Think about it. If you do that, then your firstborn are not going to die. Anybody who doesn't have that blood, the firstborn in their family, will die. And we all know the story. That's what happened in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 6. It says, you should take special care. I took that out of the New Living Translation here. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the fourth day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb, whom they took so special care of, or young goat at twilight. They are to take of the blood and smear it on the sides of the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. So that was the first instruction. Put the blood over the doorposts of your houses. Throughout the ages, from Adam, from Abel unto Ethan, Adam, I guess, unto this time, they were told to sacrifice an animal because of the blood. But something else takes place here that we, most people, don't understand and don't even study. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 8, listen to what happens after that. The same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it alone with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the raw meat, raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, internal organs, you know what internal organs are, must be roasted over the fire. Do not leave any of it until morning. They had to eat everything. Burn whatever is not eaten before the morning. Very interesting here. You go into the laws of Moses and they clearly explain how to roast that animal. They had to roast the insides, the tail, the head, everything, and they had to eat of it. And when Israel did that, something supernaturally happened to them. What happened to them? If you're a good Berean, you would know it by now. When the Israeli people left Israel, left Egypt, none of them were sick or feeble. They were all healthy because they ate of that lamb that they had slaughtered. What does that lamb represent? You know what it represents? It represents the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why we take communion today. We take communion, the bread, which represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was wounded for our transgression. By its stripes we were healed. He didn't only shed his blood for our salvation, but he also took the beating for our healing in our body. And he says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. I was studying this and I said, Lord, this is definitely a foreshadow of what happened in Egypt. Your body was beaten for me. It was torn to smithereens. And you say, as often as you eat it, do this in remembrance of what happened to me. I did it for you. So here I am encouraging you. As often as you eat and drink of this sacrament, you do it unto the Lord in remembrance of him, what he did for me. Do you need a preacher? No, you don't. You are a king and a priest unto God. If you feel sickness in your body, take communion with yourself, by yourself. Because if it says it in here that they were healed, then it must mean something. Hallelujah. If the Bible teaches us, by your stripes we are healed, it must mean that, because there's nothing else to read between the lines. Hallelujah. So be a good Berean. Study the word of God. And I want to tell you this. Give your understanding according to the word of God. Let your understanding be according to the word of God. Not according to your preconceived ideas, not according to how you think it's supposed to happen, because God is not the God of the natural only. He's the God of the supernatural. He can make things out of nothing. He can heal you by speaking a word. I have experienced, I know that God's word is true. When we study these things, I look at Jesus and say to him, the sky is the limit. But I want to share something else with you. One of these days, regardless what happens to us, whether we die in sickness or disease, whether we die by accident, Whether we are killed or burned or whatever, lots of people are getting burned for the, killed for their Christianity today. We will step out of this body and we're going to be totally healed, totally pure, and completely without fault. And forever throughout eternity, we will rejoice in the new body that God has given us. Hallelujah. Anybody agree with that? That's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. And that's what we got to look forward to. So let's put on a good fight of faith. Don't give up if Satan attacks you. Hang in there. You never know what God wants to do through you yet. If you're sick, pray for healing. Take communion, because there's another person who might be waiting to hear your voice for his salvation. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to all those around you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Every eye shall see, every ear shall hear the sound of angels when he comes, when he comes. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord when he comes. When he comes, and he'll plant his beautiful feet upon this mountain, and the dead of all the ages who believed on him will rise. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he glorious.